If you're able, please stand with me this morning for the reading of God's Word out of reverence for God's Word. We read this morning that all Scripture is breathed out by God, that it's His. And so let's listen to what God has to say to us this morning through His Word. We're going to be in Habakkuk in chapter 1, starting in verse 12 and reading through chapter 2 and verse 1. The word of the Lord says, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallow up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offering to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury, and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you and we want to thank you for your word. And we do ask, God, that you would speak to us through your word this morning, that you would help us to see the truth of the gospel in this and the truth of who you are. And Father, that you would help us to wait upon you and to trust in you. God, would you strengthen our faith through your word? Would you conform us more into the image of your Son? And God, would you transform us by the renewal of our minds? Father, we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. You know, as you look at the world around you, it's safe to say that you often see the effects of sin, the effects of wickedness all around. We've talked about this. The effects of sin, the effects of wickedness in the fact that there is death, there's diseases. And you can look at news headlines and see that that people are truly inventors of evil, just like the Bible tells us in Romans, that we as people are by nature against God and invent all sorts of evil. And for those of us that follow Christ, sometimes it is hard for us to reconcile what we believe about God and His goodness with the fact that He is allowing evil to keep going on in this world. Like, there's times when I'm seeing things and I'm thinking, why in the world is God not acting yet? Why is God allowing this evil to take place? What is going on here? And as we look at this passage, we actually are going to be seeing that Habakkuk is once again complaining to God. This is the second time he's going to God and just complaining to God, because now it's not that God's not acting that's frustrating him. It's that he doesn't agree with how God's acting. You see, at first, Habakkuk, when we first started this book, Habakkuk was upset with God because he believed that God did not care about wickedness. He was mad at God and frustrated with God because he believed that God was not acting, that God was just sitting there and letting the wicked go unpunished, and that he didn't have a care in the world about it. He saw the effects of sin around him. He saw violence around him. He saw people being taken advantage of around him and in his country. And he was frustrated because he said, "God, how long will I keep praying to you and you not answer? How long will I keep praying to you and you will not hear?" How many of you have ever just prayed and prayed and prayed and felt like God wasn't listening? Habakkuk was right in that spot. And so God responds to Habakkuk. And Habakkuk realizes that God is acting, because God says, hey, I am working. You just haven't noticed it yet. Look among the nations, he says, and see in verse 5 and 6 of chapter 1, I am in the middle of something. I'm raising up the Chaldeans, who are basically, they're the people who would become the Babylonians, the people who would actually come in and destroy Jerusalem and Judah, the people of God. And what God said is, I am acting concerning sin. I am bringing judgment against sin. I'm raising up this evil, wicked nation to come punish the wickedness within my own people. And to Habakkuk, he did not like that. He could not reconcile what he believed about God with what God was doing in the world. And so he goes to God and he complains again. He says, God, I know you. I know about you. I know that you're holy. I know that we're not going to be completely wiped out, but I've seen what these people are doing. I've heard what the Chaldeans are doing, how they're coming in and just taking captives of everybody and shipping them away and just senselessly murdering people just because they can and they enjoy it. And like, I see that, and I see them, and I see you, and I don't understand. I don't agree. God, why, how can you, a good God, use this wicked nation to judge a nation that is less wicked than they themselves are? Or another way to put it, God, how can you let the wicked people triumph over the less wicked people? Or the way we may say it as humans or modernly, we may just say, God, why do bad things keep happening to good people? Why? And that's where we find ourselves, because Habakkuk, he doesn't get an answer to this, right? Well, he gets an answer, but he doesn't like the answer at first, but he learns to like it in the end. You see, Habakkuk, he goes and he says all the things, and he finally resolves, okay, I'm just going to wait on God. I know these things about God. I don't understand how he's working in the world, but I'm going to simply just rest. I'm going to just wait and see what happens. And so we as Christians, as we look at this passage, what I'm hoping we can understand as followers of God, as God's people in this world, is that we too can wait on the eternal, pure, and holy God to bring justice. We can wait on God to bring justice to this world. As we look here in our passage today, I wanted you to notice there in starting in verse 12, Habakkuk's theology, what he believes about God. In verse 12, he says, are you not from everlasting? You see, Habakkuk believes that God is eternal, meaning that he has no beginning and he has no end. That is something that is hard for us to wrap our minds around. How can something not have a beginning, and how can something not have an end? But we're told that God is limitless, that he is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. Or to put it another way, he has always existed. The Bible tells us that he is from everlasting to everlasting. And so he believes that God is eternal. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? So he believes that God is eternal. And since God is eternal, he believes that God's people will also be eternal. Notice there in verse 12 also, he says, we shall not die. So he believes God's eternal. And on the basis of that, he believes that his people will eternally be his people, that we shall not die. But then he moves on to where he's getting a little confused, because now he understands that God has ordained these wicked people to come in and judge his nation, to come in and judge the people of God. And he started to get confused because he knows how good at killing people the Chaldeans are. They viewed it as a sport. Like we would go play baseball or football or watch someone do those things. The Chaldeans literally killed people for sport. They found it humorous. They laughed about it. Especially when they came to a king and saw how pathetic the king was at being able to protect their own people. They took advantage of that and they laughed and exploited all the people of the nations that they were taking over. So he's thinking, okay, God, you've ordained these people. You've decreed that these wicked people will come in and judge your very own people. But yet you're eternal and we're told we're not going to die. But from what I'm seeing, they kill everybody and then take the others that are alive away into another land. Like, I'm not getting this. How are we going to keep on being your people? You see how he's confused there? He believes God's eternal. He believes God's holy. He believes God's sovereign. But what he can't wrap his mind around is how a holy, righteous God who is holy, like we see in verse 13, can use these wicked people. Or in other words, he believes God is holy, just, and true, but what he is experiencing in his life does not match up with what he believes. What he believes about God does not seem to be looking like what he is experiencing, because he is experiencing violence. He is experiencing wickedness. And he has been told by God himself that God has ordained this wicked nation to come judge his own people. And so he's in a crisis of faith. He's in a crisis of faith. How can a good God ordain a wicked nation to judge his very own people? The Bible indicates to us that God is indeed sovereign, that he will accomplish his purposes. But at the same time, we're told that God is neither the author of sin. Right? Like, God is not the author of sin. Because God is good. He's not evil. And so it's one of those things we have to accept by faith that, yes, God does decree the actions of these sinful people to do his bidding, and yet he is not the one who forces them to do it. He is not the one who forces their hand. You know why the Chaldeans are coming up against the Jews in this passage? They're getting ready to come up? Because they want to. They desire to be a vicious, violent people. They desire to wage war against God because by nature they are children of wrath, just like all of us. And so Habakkuk, he's having a crisis of faith because he does not understand how God's sovereignty relates to the actions that are taking place in this world, how God can be a good God and still use a wicked nation. And so he responds. And he basically believes, you're just not doing anything for your people. Notice what it says there. You, in verse 14, you make mankind like fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. In other words, you're supposed to protect your people, but you're not. You're supposed to protect your people, God, but you're not. He's accusing God once again of not being a good God, of not being a good king. And then he explains why. In verse 15, he switches from talking to God to describing the Chaldeans, saying this wicked nation uses their hook and their net to gather a bunch of fish. See how he's comparing the people of Judah to fish that are caught in a net. They have no escape because you're not protecting your people, God. That's what Habakkuk is accusing God of. He says, the Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet, so it rejoices and is glad. And then notice in verse 16, not only that, God, they don't even realize that you're using them. They actually make sacrifices to their own dragnets, which is a symbolism for saying to their own strength, to their own power. In that day, when the nations waged war against each other, they literally believed that it was their gods fighting against the gods of another people. That is what they believed, that the different territories had their own gods. And so, like, the God of Israel was only the God of Israel, the people around them believed. But what God is saying here is, I'm not just the God of Israel. I'm the one true God over everything. And so these people, when they would come in, they're believing that, yeah, we are kicking the rear end of these other gods. But they didn't give glory to their fake God. They gave glory to themselves. They gave glory to themselves. And so Habakkuk's like, they're not even worshiping you. They're not even worshiping you, God. And yet you're still using them. You're not protecting your people, but you're letting these people come in and do whatever they want. These people who are wicked. How long then will they mercilessly, verse 17, mercilessly keep killing nations forever? Habakkuk realizes something. Unless God intervenes, this nation will completely wipe them out. So he says, God, I believe you're good. I believe you're holy. I believe you're just. But I'm not understanding why you're not protecting your people from this wicked people. Are they going to continue to live in wickedness and take advantage of us until we die? How long before you act, God? How long before you put an end to this wickedness? Then Habakkuk finally just says, okay, there in verse 1. I'll just take my stand in my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. There are times, friends, when we ask God for an understanding and he withholds giving us an understanding sometimes. And that's where Habakkuk's at. He's complained to God, right? He's complained to God because of his frustration, his confusion, and he didn't get a response yet. And so this is what he says. Well, there's nothing else I can do. I've already told God what I'm going to tell him. I'm just going to stand here and watch and see what happens as this nation comes against my nation. I'm going to watch from the walls as this nation approaches my nation to judge us. And I'm just going to wait and see what God says and what God does. Friends, there are times in our lives, pretty much all the time, when we can and must just wait on God. We don't always understand the things that are going on in our life. We don't always understand the way that God's working. So we go to God in prayer, and then simply we have to just yield. We have to just say, okay, God, you're God. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to wait. I'm going to watch and see what happens. I remember one time when I was hunting, and Kristen and I, we were out there hunting. It was like Thanksgiving a few years ago. And we sat there for hours and hours, just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting some more and waiting some more. And about 10 minutes before legal hunting time ended, out stepped a buck. After all that waiting, something finally happened. After all that waiting, something finally happened. There are times in our lives when we just have to sit there and just wait on God. In other words, we just have to trust God to act. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes we won't understand it until we get to heaven. Then we see how God was moving and how God was working. But nonetheless, we can still wait on the eternal God to bring justice. We can wait on him to act because we are told that God is a God who will punish sin. He is a just God who will punish sin. We're told in Exodus 34 that the Lord passes before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving the iniquity and the transgression and sins, but who will by no means clear the guilty, God will punish sin. And Habakkuk was going to have to be calling back to his mind the things that he had been taught from his childhood in the first part of the Old Testament, where he would have to believe that God does by no means clear the guilty. He will punish sin. And I believe that that truth is probably one of the things that motivated Habakkuk to just sit there and wait on God, trusting that truth that God will punish sin. But here's the issue for us. We're all sinners, right? So doesn't that mean that God is going to punish us? The Bible tells us in Romans 3:10 that there is none that are morally good. There is none that are morally perfect. It says that none is righteous. No, not one. Which means we all have broken God's law. We all have come against God and rebelled against God. We all have committed lawlessness and broken His law. That's why Romans 3:23 tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the consequence of such things is death. The consequence of breaking God's law is death. That's why there's death in the world. That's why there's sickness in the world, because of sin. The consequences of sin is death. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. The consequences of sin is death. So when we sin, when we break God's law, when we rebel against God, we simply earn our wage. We earn what we have worked for. When I go to my job, when I go teach, as much as I love teaching, I would not do it if they did not pay me. Why? Because I have to make a living. You have to make a living. We have to do all these things, right? We work and expect to get something in return. We expect to earn a wage. And when we work in our lives by nature, we work sin and we earn our wage of death. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is kind of a problem that we face, right? Because Habakkuk, he believes that God's holy and just, and that he's going to punish sin. But what he doesn't realize is that he's still, or his nation, at least it seems like he doesn't realize, that the people there are still sinners. And I think sometimes we get the same syndrome. We see people outside as the ones who are more wicked than us. But if we're honest with ourselves, we too have broken God's law, right? We too are going to face judgment unless we have trusted Christ. Because even though we have all broken His law, God still loves those that He died for and proves it by dying for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So yes, we have all broken God's law, but God still loves us and proved it by sending His own Son to die for us while we were still sinners. In other words, before we were able to get ourselves put together, before we were able to clean ourselves up. I remember I was fishing with my dad, and we were catching fish. It was a Sunday afternoon. Next thing we know, we looked at the watch. It was like 6:45 in the afternoon. Church started at 6:30, and we were supposed to be at church, right? And so we hurry. We get in, get the boat up, pulled up the church with the boat, walk in, right? And everyone's kind of looking at us. We weren't thinking that we smelt very bad of fish. Very bad of fish. Aren't you glad that God doesn't expect us to clean ourselves up before He got us saved, before He saved us? Right? We have the stench of sin, and yet God still died for us that we might have life in Him. So God shows that He loves us by sending His Son to us, and this is the hope that we have. That if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. In other words, if we just simply trust God, if we simply have confidence in God, for the Bible does tell us that there is a day coming when God will accomplish justice, that God will bring justice and wickedness will be destroyed. But until then, we must just simply wait on God, to trust in God. And Habakkuk, he wants an answer to God from God, from how can you let this happen? And do you want to know God's answer? I'll give you a little quick preview into next week. God's answer was this: you just got to trust me. Habakkuk 2:4, the prideful are puffed up, but the just shall live by faith. He said, I'm going to judge them, but you just got to trust me. And that's how it is in our life. God's going to bring an end to wickedness. God's going to bring an end to the effects of sin that we have to experience on a daily basis. God's going to bring an end to the pain and the sorrow and the suffering that we experience. But until then, we just simply have to wait on God. In Revelation 19, starting in verse 11, the Bible tells us, and this is just a good picture of the payoff that comes from just waiting on God. Then I saw heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse, the one sitting on it, called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Okay, so we're talking about Jesus now. Okay, so this is Jesus we're talking about. Continuing there, the name that is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty on his robe. And on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to the birds that fly directly overhead, come and gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and their riders and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who in the presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, of those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. A lot of times in our society, we paint a very weak picture of Jesus. A Jesus who would never punish sin. But we see right here that there is a day coming, and has begun, that God will judge. He will bring an end to wickedness. We see a picture of that day when Christ returns. You see, when Christ first came, he first came to inaugurate the kingdom, to start the kingdom. He came that we might have life. But when he comes again, he's not coming to save the world. He already came to do that. He's coming to judge the world. So until that day, we are called to wait upon God until he brings an end to the wickedness. We are called to wait upon God. And so Christians, child of God, you can wait for God and you can trust him, because he is an eternal God who is holy, and he will bring about justice. And what that means for us is simply this: whether you follow Christ or not, you got to understand this. God will bring justice. He will punish sin. The question is, who's going to pay for it? That's the question. Either Christ has already done so, or you're going to. And the only way you know which one of those is the case is by who you trust. Are you trusting in yourself, in your own ability to cover your sins by trying to live a better life? Or are you trusting in Christ alone? If you are trusting in Jesus alone, the fact that God became man to save us from our sins, that Jesus took the wrath of God on himself, that he bled, died, was buried, and rose again to forgive us our sins and grant us eternal life. If you're trusting in that Jesus, then you can be assured that your sins have already been paid for, that Jesus has already paid for it. But if you're not trusting in Christ, then you have no assurance that your sins have been paid for. For if you do not trust Christ, the Bible says in John 3 that you stand condemned before God already. So trust Christ today. That's what it means for us to remember that God will bring about justice. Friends, we must avoid the error of assuming that God doesn't care about sin. He does, and he's dealt with it ultimately on the cross. He hates sin so much that his own son had to give his life to pay for our sins. And so we must repent and believe and continue to do so through life. And then as we wait on the end to come, as we wait on that day when God does bring about judgment and clears the earth of all the wicked, we have a very important job. Are you ready? To walk in faithfulness, to carry this message that this world is going to end and that judgment is coming so that more people can be saved. That's how we wait on God. Judgment is coming, but there's a way of escape. So we wait on God, we trust God, we believe that he's serious about sin, and we share with people how they can escape the punishment of sin. We can wait on God. You see, we don't always understand this world or the things that happen in this world. We don't always agree with how God does things. But one thing is for sure, God will accomplish justice. Sometimes we can't see that right now. I mean, look at the world around you. So much injustice going on in various ways. But God will bring about justice for all things. That is for sure. So therefore, as a follower of Jesus, we can confidently wait on God and faithfully share his word and pray to him as we wait for that day, as we wait on God. Let's pray. Father, we know, God, that you are a holy and righteous God, and we don't always understand your ways, because as we read in your word, your ways are not our ways and your thoughts are not our thoughts, that your ways and your thoughts are higher than ours. We are not able to comprehend it. And so, Father, I pray that you would just help us to trust in you, to just wait upon you and how you're moving and how you're acting and how you're working out the affairs of this world, trusting that nothing that happens in this world can separate us from your love and your grace that you have shown us in Christ. Help us to believe that and claim that and cling to that, God, that your grace is sufficient, that we can simply just wait on you and trust that the just do live by faith. Help us to believe that you have our best interests at heart, even if or when persecution comes. God, help us to believe that. Help us to cling to that. And help us to remember that you are a God that values justice, true justice. And so, Father, let us be people who seek justice and love mercy, but yet walk humbly with you, our God, through Christ. And let us do so by proclaiming your word to this world, by being a light unto the world, knowing that the light is not found in our actions, but is found through your word that is shared. So, Father, would you use us to just share the message of your kingdom and what your word says about different aspects of life. Father, would you just help us to share the good news of redemption through Christ. Father, help us to wait on you in all things, to trust in you, our sovereign, holy Lord, who cares for us and watches over us. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.